Welcome, Rundown Nation, week five. Man, it's exciting. This is the big week. Everybody's been waiting for this one. I'm here. I'm Wall. I'm with my best buddy here, Mr. Story. How you doing, Story?
I'm doing well. Well, we are recording this in the lead up to week five, which means we're another week in the books, and which means we're another week closer to Maction. So that is what I am giddy about.
Week five. He doesn't care about week five. He's ready for Maction. Well, a lot of people they do care about week five because if you read any of the preseason magazines, the Phil Steels, the Athlons, whatever, they all had this one circled as one of the biggest slates of the season for good reason. Oregon, Penn State, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, and now we got USC, Illinois that you didn't know about that one at the beginning of the year, but hey, it jumped there and there as one of the huge matchups. We're going to jump into all of those this week, and I'm excited for this week. As it is as a whole, not just those ones specifically, but I think we got some other big games. AP top 25, we got some movers. Miami up to number two, Oklahoma, Indiana, Texas Tech all jump after week four wins. Anything strike you there?
Well, I mean, I think the AP poll might be under some fire this week, especially with the absolute throttling that Indiana put on Illinois, 63-10. I don't think anybody, when was the last time the number nine team in the nation lost by 53 points and against a team that was barely ranked inside the top 20?
I couldn't tell you that. I could tell you it's been a long time since a team that I thought was going to win lost the game that bad, which was the case there.
It's also striking that Syracuse stunned Clemson on the road, knocking the Tigers down a tier in both playoff hopes and in the futures market. So you might want to stay away from Dabo Swinney's squad for the near future.
Yeah, that remains his squad. We saw Mr. Gundy get the boot, and he's been very long tenured there, right behind Kirk Ferentz, is one of the top tenured coaches in the NCAA. And Mr. Gundy, he's gone. So, Mr. Swinney, you watch your spot because you might not be the coach of that team for very long. You keep losing games like that. I mean, week four really reshaped the power ratings and totals. Maybe we'll jump into that a little betting angle tease a little later. But some of those big games, Oklahoma 24, Auburn 17, we talked about it last week on the program. Nine sacks, Sooners pass rush. I mean, they're a market moving unit, Mr. Story. They're going to change some lines because people have a different perception of this Oklahoma Sooners football team.
Yeah, I don't know that any. Well, the big question, it's not a question anymore, but the big concern is the star quarterback, the Heisman front runner, John Mattier, is going to be on the shelf for a minimum of 3 games, looking like it could be up to five, depending. He broke a bone in his throwing hand. He's going to have surgery. Now, they do have a bye this week, but he's going to be on the shelf for quite some time. How do you see that impacting Oklahoma moving forward? We really don't know much about his backup.
No, we don't. And I would say in the past, we would be, I mean, that would be extreme worry. We write Oklahoma off. But for the facts that I just mentioned, their defense is actually playing some football this year. I mean, I'm not that worried about them. I know he was the team, but with a defense of unit like Oklahoma has, I think they can jump up. They can stop some teams, stop them from scoring. So they're not going to have to just outscore the other team anymore. I think they're going to be able to play that defense.
Yeah, no question about it. Nine sacks is the big takeaway from that game. That defensive front absolutely shredded off Auburn's offensive line. So, as you mentioned, the defense is something that we don't normally consider when it comes to Oklahoma, but I think the odds makers are definitely going to have to expect that these are going to be lower scoring games, not just because John Mateer is going to be out for a few games, but because of that pass rush, that defense in general. We're going to see a different Oklahoma. You can see them kind of tightening the belt there and really trying to put the clamp on teams to in order to avoid having to put the ball in the air.
Absolutely. And since Venables got there, we knew it was at some point it was going to happen where that defense stepped up because he is a man that was known for his defense coming over there from Clemson football as the defensive coordinator, now coaching over there at Oklahoma. He's the head ball coach at Oklahoma. Jump to another game from last week, Miami at Florida. I mean, Miami took down Florida. It wasn't unexpected, I guess. The score might have been a little higher, a little more lopsided than one would expect at 26-7. But that Canes defense, man, that just vaulted them. I think that's what vaulted them to the top two.
Yeah, I really expected more from Carson Beck, right? 17 for 30, 160 yards, no touchdowns. He did have -7 rushing yards, so he's not much of a scrambler. But I think the key takeaway here is defense. I think that's going to be the theme of this week, is well, other than Indiana, of course. But defense, defense, defense. Just an absolutely suffocating defense. Florida looked pedestrian in their ability to move the ball. DJ Lagway only attempted 23 passes. Believe it or not, they lost by 19. Only 23 passes. Only 61 yards in the air. Jaden Ball couldn't get much going. 3.8 yards per carry for him. He did have a touchdown, 46 yards on the ground. But this catapulted Miami into the national title conversation, did it not?
No, it absolutely did. You're sitting at number two. You know you have a shot, especially playing in a conference like the ACC where you don't have a lot of tough competition that's going to make you lose games. So you're going to get that nice, easy ride to the playoffs. From there, you just have to win a few games. As we found out, it's going to stay at 12 teams for the time being, just news announced today. So, I mean, if you're a team like Miami or Florida, yeah, you got a real good shot right now at winning the national championship.
I'm excited to see where things kind of go. I think there might be some value here. I think that this not necessarily, I don't know if you would call this a dominant win, certainly a convincing win over Florida, a halfway decent Florida team. It could overvalue Miami going forward. So keep an eye out, bettors, on the potential value spots going forward if you start seeing those Miami lines kind of creep over those key numbers.
Yeah, and I will say I will be betting against Miami and Florida a lot because I love to bet against them for one. For two, I agree with what you just said. I think they're going to be getting a little more love than they should deserve. And also, I would like to mention Carson Beck, actually, his Heisman odds, you mentioned he didn't have a great game. His Heisman odds dropped. You would have thought they would have shot after the Mateer news of him getting injured. Obviously, his Heisman odds are gone. Now they don't really have him on the board because he's out for the rest of the season. I expected Carson Beck's odds to, get a little shorter to make it a little less probable or a little more probable that he's going to win the Heisman, but he was at 12% before the game started. He's now down to 9%. The front runner is actually Fernando Mendoza on most sports books. I'm looking at about 11% probability. And I'm sorry, I'm not quoting the American lines here, but that's just how I do things these days. I'm looking at Fernando Mendoza, which he was that quarterback for the Indiana team. You mentioned the game real quick there, 63-10 win over Illinois. He looked real good through those five touchdowns. He exposed that weakness in the Illinois of their secondary.
Yeah, that's a big concern for Illinois going forward. I'm surprised that they're still ranked after this. But this was a statement win for Kurt Cignetti. He wanted to make sure that in the division, in the conference, that everyone knew that Indiana is the team to beat. Just real quick, you're correct about Mendoza. If we look at the lines from DraftKings, you got Mendoza sitting at +700. So that's even better, or excuse me, even a higher probability, worse odds than what Mateer was last week when we were talking on this program. He was +800. Dante Moore, who had a really good game himself, +850. He's from Oregon. And there's your Carson Beck at +1200. And his odds did drop. Again, throwing no touchdowns, throwing for under 200 yards. It kind of makes sense in that regard. But this one, Illinois just looked overmatched. They looked unprepared. We were waiting for that. All of us Illinois fans, we were waiting for the hammer to drop. I think it was inevitable. Number nine in the nation seems like they were probably the most overvalued team. But this one, I don't know where Illinois goes from here. Can you recover? You've got a game against USC this week. That's another high-profile matchup. Illinois still at number 23, 23 or 24, somewhere in that range, and USC right there, just above them at 21.
Absolutely. That game this weekend is their lifeline. It's their life vest. If they are going to sink or they're going to float, we're going to find out. Big USC, they get a little bit of a break, I think, having that game right off. And also, as you mentioned, staying in the top 25 helps them a lot. Another game from last week, Texas Tech 34. They took down Utah, who only had 10 in that game. Backup quarterback Will Hammond came in. He impressed everyone. Texas Tech's ratings just rose after seeing that game.
Yeah, unfortunate news for Utah. They're going to lose versatile playmaker Hunter Andrews. I actually picked him up in one of my fantasy teams. A bit of a cheat code. He was listed as RB and tight end, so I thought maybe throw him into the tight end slot. He'll get plenty of carries. Well, he got hurt early in that game. Only got me 2.7 points, unfortunately. And he was just a dynamic weapon, a very versatile playmaker out there. I know he wasn't expected to be a regular starter, but definitely somebody who can contribute. So I'm not sure what Utah. What happened with this one? I mean, certainly Will Hammond played way beyond expectations, and Texas Tech definitely has juice. They've got depth. I'm excited for that team. I'm really excited. Where did they end up in the rankings? Do you know, Wall?
I'd have to check it out to be sure. AP poll. I honestly don't know. Oh, are we going off the AP poll still? Can we get something different, than this AP poll? These people that don't know what they're talking about, Mr. Story.
Yeah, I feel you on that. We kind of touched on it a little bit. Texas Tech looks like number 12 in the AP poll,
Yeah.
sitting at 4-0 on that team. So yeah, I believe I've got Lane on my team on one of my fantasy teams there. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, not Lane. Jacoby Williams. Jacoby Williams is on my team for Texas Tech, and he is a very dynamic running back.
Yeah, you're right. They're sitting 12. They get 890 votes, and Indiana only got 990. Yeah, you put Texas Tech against Indiana. You tell me where that favorite's going to be after last week's game. That's ridiculous. I mean, I don't want to go to our next segment without mentioning the AAC, Mr. Story. I know we don't talk about those conferences a lot on this program, but Fantastic week last week for the AAC Memphis. Big, comeback win against a reputable program in Arkansas. Navy got the win. UNT, University of North Texas, the Mean Green Man, they are a good-looking football team. Let me tell you, if you have a chance to watch them on Saturdays or Friday nights, they play a lot on Friday nights. Check them out. Mean Green are a good football team. Watch the AAC this year for some contenders. But I'll jump on to the next topic or next segment, I should say. Trends and angles, little new segment for us here. A couple things I wanted to point out this week was pass rush versus protection. I know you're not a big fan of the pass rush, are you, Mr. Story? You like passing.
I like quarterbacks that can see the pass rush in advance and either audible out of it or scramble. So unfortunately, that's not a whole lot of quarterbacks these days. You got a lot of scramblers, but not a lot of guys who kind of see the pressure. I want Peyton Manning back there. I want Tom Brady back there. But we've got some pretty good pass rushes in college football right now.
Yeah, that you do have some really good ones. And now that they lost Mr. Mateer, they're going to get even better because Mateer was one of those people, I believe, in my opinion, that fit the bill of a quarterback you were talking about that you like. Alabama, Ohio State, and Penn State, all top 10 in opponent passing yards. This is something I want to mention because if we look at the rankings, we look at some good football teams. Alabama, obviously, in a down year. Ohio State and Penn State, not so much. Very good teams. But very good teams these days, they stop the pass because that's what teams want to do against you. They want to pass the ball. They want to go deep. So if you want to be a championship caliber team, you got to stop that pass. For reference, as far as yards on the season, Bama 739 yards given up in the air. Ohio State 683 yards given up, and Penn State only 673 yards, and that's through four games. I mean, it's huge. You got a good secondary. You got a good scheme to stop those long passing plays, especially. I think you're going to do well this day and age in football.
Yeah, I'm really excited to kind of dig into this a little bit more. Maybe we can get more advanced in a future episode, but you got to remember that odds makers aren't just looking at wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks, right? They're pricing in both the guys protecting them and the guys chasing them down. A dominant pass rush, it's not just a guy on a field or a stat on a spreadsheet. It dictates how these markets move. It dictates spreads and especially totals. I mean, certainly live betting. Nine sacks. That's dominance. That's absolutely cratering your opponent. So stronger pass rushes, more drive stall, lower scoring. That's going to impact your totals, right? Spreads. Teams with elite pass rushers, they cover more consistently as favorites. When you can get to the quarterback, and this is why I'm still disillusioned with NFL scouting. You want guys that can throw the ball, catch the ball, and protect the guy catching the ball or throwing the ball, and then guys that can get the guy getting the throwing the ball, if that makes sense.
I think I followed you. Get the guy, get the ball. It's certainly, I know what you're talking about, Mr. Story. But no, you want good defensive players, is what you're saying. You want people that go to the ball, make the tackle, and don't just stand there watching the play happen around them. A team like Penn State, they're a fantastic example of that, Mr. Story. 29 tackles for loss. That's something that you're talking about that you want in your team, right? 29 tackles for loss in the season.
I would take that 100%.
Absolutely. That trench havoc, man. It's real. Let me tell you, that's how games are won. Football games are won in the trenches. I wanted to mention Georgia. We're going to talk about Georgia against their Alabama this week. Georgia, normally a really good pass defensive team. Not so much this year. They've allowed, remember, we're talking about 739 yards, 683, 673 yards given up for Bama, Ohio State, and Penn State, respectively. Georgia, a team that's usually known for the pass defense, given up 900 yards on the season and only 13 tackles for loss. I just mentioned Penn State's 29 tackles for loss. Little comparison there. Georgia, not as good on the secondary as they have been in past years. So watch that in the Alabama game coming up. I want to jump into that secondary attrition. It's driving totals, Mr. Story. We're talking about totals week in and week out. What drives that? How good your secondary is. That's a huge factor in the equation.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of see it a little bit in the Oregon, Penn State, and Alabama, Georgia game. You'd expect those totals to be over 52 and a half, but look at the line of USC and Illinois, and you had brought kind of put this down on our show sheet. Illinois and their injuries and the attrition in secondary is absolutely driving that total. 60 and a half is just a massive, massive number for a team that just put up 10 measly points last week.
That is a fantastic. Yes, Illinois is a perfect example of this because you're talking about a football team that we're talking about 700 yards given up on the season. If you look at Illinois, and again, they've had injuries that Mr. Xavier Scott, he's out for the season, by the way. He got injured in that last game against Indiana there. But this Illinois football team has given up 1,384 yards of total offense. I mean, it's the worst among all the teams that we're going to talk about today. There are teams in the nation that are worse than that. But of the teams we're going to talk about, that secondary, I mean, they are not doing well because most of those total offensive or on defense, total offensive given up, most of those yards are through the air. And we saw a lot of that last week against Indiana. USC, an example of somebody that Illinois is going to play this week. They're very opportunistic this season. Seven takeaways, most of all the people we're going to talk about. But the problem is they're giving up 1,291 yards on the season. So if they don't get those turnovers, they're also going to give up points. Going back, what you just mentioned, we're looking at a total, and this is where it all comes from. This is where it all ties in. We're looking at a total of 60 and a half in that USC Illinois game that you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, totals rise in games that have thin secondaries. The opponents, their team totals get shaded higher. And this is just kind of a reminder, like, first of all, USC is kind of bringing in some of their less than stellar defense from the Pac-12, so that's not dead yet. But this is a reminder that just you got to look beyond the AP poll. We kind of talked about it. We're not really even convinced that the AP poll is that predictive. Sharps can grab value if you spot secondary issues before it hits the market. Wouldn't surprise me to see this line jump to 61.5, 62. If you can catch this value before the public sees it, that is an edge that you can have and will definitely help you in the long run in sports betting.
Absolutely is. And I love how you're still taking digs at the Pac-12, man. They're dead. You're kicking that
I
horse.
love the Pac-12. It's an unfortunate reality that the Pac-12 is on its last legs, but man, we had some good time staying up late watching Pac-12 after dark.
We did. But now we get one of their best teams, probably the best team in the Pac-12 over the past 5, 6 years, going back maybe 10 years. But we'll jump right into the games this week. The team I'm talking about is Oregon. They got to play Penn State this week, but they are playing an in-conference game, and this is Big Ten football, baby. 52 and a half over under in this one. You got Penn State -3.5 right now, pretty consistent across the book. So you got to beat that hook if you want the Nittany Lions. Surprising line a little bit to me. I expect it to be under that field goal. But, we shall see. This might move throughout the week, right? Those lines, they don't stay static.
Yeah, this one is all about the Penn State pass rush versus Oregon's offensive line. And can they keep, well, two things. Can they keep Dante more vertical? Can they keep him upright and limit the number of mistakes that he makes? And also, can they get that run game going, which seems to be a little stuck in the mud? It's kind of a rotation there. You got Hill, you got Lamar, Whittington, certainly a contributor, Davison, and then the guy they paid big money to, Hughes, to come in has barely seen the field. So that spread makes sense to me. It's at Penn State, it's the whiteout -3.5. It feels like a very good spread. I mean, this one could be 28-24, 27-24. So that one feels like right in line to me.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that, I guess. I had written down the angle I think in this game is whether Penn State can create that pressure and, force those third and longs. I think if they can do that, you're going to see Oregon's yak, which there was actually, I don't know if anybody saw it, it gets ESPN alerts for college football, but there was an interesting article today from ESPN they sent me, and it said the yak is back, yards after carry is back. A bunch of fantastic running backs reshaping, I sh should say, bringing the college football landscape back to the way it was. I think, though, if Oregon does get in those long third downs, they're not going to have those yards after carry that they're used to, yards after first contact, if you will. I think Noah Whittington is the running back in that group you mentioned that's trending up the most. I think he's going to have the most shots. So can Penn State stop Mr. Whittington from getting those big yards, making it second and short, third and short? We shall see. That's really what's going to determine the game. As far as the spread at -3.5, if I had to bet either side in this one, I'm definitely taking the points with the Ducks, even though they're at Penn State.
I'm gonna lay off completely. I'm not entirely. I'm ready for a big game, a fun game. I'm hoping that this one turns into a fun game. Dante Moore is definitely a quarterback on the rise. Let's hope this feels like the first true test for Oregon this year, taking on one of the best defenses in the Big Ten.
Not to mention they have to go into Penn State and play in that whiteout. Penn State does a whiteout every year, one game they pick out. And of course, they picked out Oregon this year because it's a huge game. Number three, Penn State hosting number six, Oregon. We can't talk about that game forever. We got to give the SEC a little bit of love, even though I hate them. I know you're more neutral on them. But this Alabama Georgia game, Georgia is -2.5, which surprises me. I don't think that they should be giving under a field goal to this Alabama football team that hasn't proven anything. But that's where the line lies right now. You can get -3 or +3, I should say, on Bama on some books if you want them. But we got a total in this one of 52.5, which I do think we mentioned. I don't know if you like that total either way, Mr. Story.
I don't know what to think about that total. We've seen these teams absolutely get into shootouts before. We've seen 75 points put up, and we've seen games that drag into the mud that are absolute slugfests. So the big thing here, I mean, Alabama gets two key players back, running back Jed Miller, but more importantly, Tim Keenan is going to be making his season debut, defensive lineman, huge for the run game, huge for the trenches. We kind of talked about this in a previous segment. Bama's reinforcements could make this a bit of a coin flip. I mean, that's exactly what the odds makers are saying, right? Georgia minus three, they're at home. So in a neutral field, this should be a neutral game. But I think we're going to have some efficient scoring, maybe some downfield stuff. Look for the Alabama passing game to do some play action, get some deep downfield shots, kind of open things up a little bit, and then we'll see how Georgia has to respond.
Oh, I think I might have to disagree with you a little bit. I don't think there's going to be a lot of downfield passing in this one. I don't know that many people are going to be going vertical. So I kind of like the under 52 and a half. I'm not saying I'm putting my pick 'em on it, but if I had to pick something in this game, I do kind of like that under 52 and a half. We usually agree, Mr. Story, but finally found something we can disagree a little bit on.
Well, let's see if this is the week that Alabama finally gets Ryan Williams going and has that breakout game, the one of the top, first round draft picks for fantasy football that we all thought he was going to be this year.
There you go. Hey, you know the definition of insanity, Mr. Story?
Please hit me.
It's just to keep banging your head against the wall. So maybe it'll change. We'll see. We shall see. But I think they're just going to keep banging their heads against the wall. Let's jump to another SEC game. Number four, LSU at number 13, Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin, man, he's turning that program around. These guys are the favorites against the number four team in the nation. AP poll can suck it because it means nothing. This is a complete example of, you know what? We need to start putting our money where our mouth is if we're going to be ranking these football teams. Mississippi is the favorite, minus 1.5 in this one at home, 54.5 total in the game.
Garrett Nussmeier has been very, very good for LSU, and that's why this line kind of surprises me a little bit. So Ole Miss, it looks like they're going to trot out Trinidad Chambliss yet again. Austin Simmons is still hobbled by that ankle sprain, so the report is that Chambliss is going to start. But let's take a look at what Nussmeier did last week. 25 for 31, incredibly efficient, 80% completion there, 273 yards and three touchdowns. I don't know what's going on with that running game. Seems like typical LSU where they cannot find the guy. But they had a couple of big players pop off last week in the passing game, most notably Bauer Sharp filling in for the injured Green at tight end. He had five catches for 73 yards and a touchdown. I think we're going to see fireworks in this one. Both of these teams thrive on explosive plays, up-tempo plays. Live betting overs can spike if the first quarter starts out fast. You get a touchdown there in the first 5 minutes, or if it starts slow, I might look to place a little live wager, see what the over looks like in that. Definitely plenty of options for stacking if you're into daily fantasy. I know Woj would want us to talk about that. You could stack Nussmeier and Sharp. You could stack Nussmeier and Aaron Anderson, a standout wide receiver there. So plenty of options on both sides of the ball. Harrison Wallace is wide receiver for Ole Miss. Had a step back, but he still seems to be the number one there this year. Just a down week. That's all I'm attributing it to. I like this. I like the over on this quite a bit.
Hey, I like Ole Miss minus 1.5. Give me a lot of money on them. Let's go, Mr. Lane Kiffin. Also, I like the point you brought up about betting in game. I will be taking, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to wait till it gets to a minus 110 and try to take them on the money line. I'm hoping that happens. If it does, I'm hammering this game. But I like Ole Miss. Maybe LSU gets off to a hot start. Ole Miss is the home football team. That in-game wagering, I'll be looking to maybe get plus money on Ole Miss, hoping they come out in a better second half. But you know what? That would be a Christmas present if they could go exactly as I wanted. That's just something I'm thinking about in the back of my head as
Well,
we go.
maybe LSU can win the coin toss and take the ball. They score a touchdown. You can get plus money right off the bat.
There you go. I'm hammered. I'm putting the house on it if that's the case, Mr. Story. We'll be watching that one. Pretty excited for it. Jump back to the Big Ten. We already talked about one game from the Big Ten, two from the SEC. We're going to talk about another Big Ten game. Number one, Ohio State at Washington. I know it's not a huge game for most people, but I'm interested to see how the Buckeyes do against this Washington football team. The spread is not as favored of Ohio State as I would expect. Ohio State right now sitting minus 8.5, 51.5 over under.
Yeah, this one is a bit of a puzzle to me. Washington has looked very, very good in their 3-0 start. They absolutely put it on in-state rival Washington State last week. Now they're not in the same conference, but quarterback there, Demon Williams, just incredibly efficient, 16 for 19, four touchdowns through the air. He also had a ton of yards on the ground, almost 90 yards and a touchdown. Jonah Coleman didn't have to do much. He only had 60 yards rushing, but I think he scored a total of 9 touchdowns. If that doesn't lead FBS, I have no idea what. Huskies are a little thin in defense, though. Their linebackers are banged up, cornerbacks. This is a mismatch for Jeremiah Smith. He's the standout wide receiver there at Ohio State, and then Carnell Tate as well. This might be a little bit of a low total to me, 51.5. I think we're going to get some chunk plays given up by the Washington defense, in which case Williams is going to have to turn it on and try to come back. This is a premium game to me. I cannot wait for this one. I think this is going to be closer than the 8.5 point spread and definitely over that 51.5.
Yeah, you kind of piqued my interest with that over there at the 51 and a half. I hadn't thought about that until now. I think the key to that is what the Buckeyes defense can do. Can Washington get any points against this Buckeyes defense? I mentioned earlier in the podcast about how good they are against passing offenses, and they're only giving up 683 yards. This might be the game where they decide to break a little bit, looking ahead to some of the more important games they have coming down the road. So if they do, I think it goes well over that 51 and a half number. So you really piqued my interest in that. Be looking to maybe bet it as the week goes on, see where that number stays. Another game we got USC at number 23. I should say number 21 USC. They're still ranked. So is
Still
Illinois, which you were,
ranked, still
yeah,
ranked.
still ranks. Illinois too. You were surprised about that one too. So we got two surprise rankings for Mr. Story here. Number 21 USC at number 23 Illinois. USC is the favorite going into Champaign there. -6.5 over under. We mentioned already on the show at 60.5. Remember, if you are from Illinois, you cannot bet this all in the sports books. If you're over on the exchanges with me, you got no people prohibiting you from betting. So feel free to bet Illinois or USC in this one.
I'll leave you a little bit of a hint there. Well, I almost took a MAC team for my pick'em this week, and then I'm remember that most of our listeners, or a good chunk of them at least, might be in Illinois. So I decided to skirt off of NIU. But if you're interested, hit me up, and I'll be happy to talk to you about that. But in any event, USC did work last week on offense, right? 45-31 against Michigan State. Now, people will say that they haven't really played anybody. They're 4-0, but they're ranked 21 because they haven't played anybody. Missouri State 73-13, Georgia Southern 59-20, Purdue they not an eke out win, but certainly not as offensive explosion here. So my question is, what do you want USC to do? They're doing exactly what you would expect them to do and actually put it on opponents, and that kind of feels like exactly what they're going to do. Poor Illinois, they're going to pile on Illinois. I know that USC is a little banged up at wide receiver, bit of a rotation there, but the quarterback there, Maivia, is that how you pronounce it? I believe.
You're as close as I would be, buddy.
Maivia, whatever his name is, he looks like very good. He's been taking care of the ball. Three touchdowns last week. He hasn't thrown an interception on the year. This is a game that I don't expect much from Illinois. Their wide receiver Hank Betty, he is banged up, but he looks like he's going to be cleared to practice this week. So it could be sneaky for some of the running backs in this game on either side, but I'm not sure where to go. I'll probably lay off this one and just enjoy a good game.
Yeah, I'm going to lay off this one completely. If I did have to go somewhere, I'd probably go with Illinois. But after that showing last week at Indiana, I can't bet Illinois after what they did. I do think that home field advantage is going to help them out a little bit. But as we said, USC is basically a touchdown favorite in this one. So not what the bookmakers are thinking. That about wraps it up for next week's games. There are a lot more. We just don't have time. I mean, we're almost at 30 minutes already. We don't have time to go over all these games. It's so exciting. Week five is going to be a fantastic slate. But you know what we got to get in because the fans have been loving it. Rundown Nation's really been loving it. The new story time segment we're doing where you go through Mr. Story and you teach us a little bit of tips and tricks, a little bit of sports betting knowledge, what we do here, what we do there, how the markets actually worked. I'm interested to hear what do you got for this week for story time?
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. Story time, I'm glad to hear it's been well received. This one, I want to get a little more in-depth, a little more, shall we say, robust when it comes to some of the betting. We went over some of the basics, your spreads, your money lines, your totals. You covered exchanges very, very well. But today I want to dive into situational and advanced bets, the kind of angles that go beyond things like futures and money lines and spreads and totals, stuff that we've already talked about. These are the moves that let sharp bettors find value and get ahead of the market. So first, let's talk injuries and depth chart impact. Week four gave us plenty of examples of this, right? Illinois torched Illinois for 63 points. So they won by 53, 63 to 10. Part of that was exploiting a decimated Illini secondary. We also saw Ohio State versus Washington in another case. Excuse me, not Ohio State versus Washington. It'll come back to me. But Washington, we talked about it. Their linebackers, their cornerbacks are thin, already pushing totals higher. And in this case, we've got the Washington total up to 51.5. They're increasing the appeal of both the wide receivers for Ohio State and defensive props, and especially the over. Understanding who's in, who's out, not just the stars, role players, guys on the line can dramatically change your perception of the spread and the props and the values that you see therein. And I know it's difficult in college football. It's a lot easier in the NFL, where you've got mandatory practice reports and mandatory injury reports. In fact, they got rid of the probable tag for the NFL, thankfully. But in college, without the SEC and their, I think it's mandatory reporting when it's in conference. Otherwise than that, you got to take the beat reporters' opinions on things. You got to take kind of get a little deeper. I know it's tough to find this kind of stuff, but the injury news is very impactful and it impacts the spread and the totals and the money lines directly. Next, let's talk home field and environmental factors. We talked about it already. Think Penn State's whiteout game against Oregon. It's more than just a nickname. That crowd noise, the energy, the field, the familiarity that Penn State has, they've been playing in that environment every single year. All that moves the lines just a little bit, but it's enough that odds makers are adjusting the lines, the scoring expectations, and sharps can often target this in advance and live bets or totals based on these conditions. Next, we've talked about it in the past as well. Public perception versus the sharps. Where money comes in at certain bets or who's betting is another critical angle. Miami screamed all the way up the rankings to number two in the poll after a dominant win. And the public is probably going to pile on these bets. Public loves favorites. They love high-profile teams. Miami's definitely a high-profile team. But if the market hasn't fully adjusted to the other metrics, the margin of victory, or more importantly, in this case, when they played Florida last week, the opponent's quality, there can be value to be had on the other side. So recognizing when the line is moving due to hype and public perception and public money rather than the fundamentals, those underlying metrics and the actual ins and outs, the X's and O's is a key. Finally, let's talk game script and in-game betting, especially tempo betting, right? We've got fast-paced teams versus on-the-ground teams. A high-tempo offense can often inflate the totals if they maintain quick possessions, while on the opposite side, a slow, methodical team may suppress scoring. But let's go back to the former. A high-paced team can inflate totals. How often have we seen it? How many times have we seen it where a team goes up early and the other team has to come back, and now we're staring down 24-21 at halftime. That over is a sure thing lock, and then they make adjustments at halftime because and by fundamentally both these teams are methodical teams, slow pace of play, all that kind of thing. They make adjustments, slow things down in the third quarter. If you understand those things coming in, good opportunity, good value can be had because these books, as good as they are, they're adjusting in real time and they're having to make these adjustments based on assumptions like we are. If you kind of understand some of the underlying things, where things are heading, you have very good opportunity to grab value in betting before the market reacts. And of course, don't forget props. I mean, we're talking about things like interceptions, turnovers, touchdowns, rushing yards, receiving yards, things like touchdowns, interceptions, not really sticky. But if you kind of understand the ins and outs of a particular offensive line, as well as the running back rotation, you look at a team like Missouri, for example, they've got Ahmad Hardy and then their standout running back there. But Hardy is probably the best running back in the SEC, I would argue, but they've also got Jamal Rogers, and he's getting plenty of work behind the line as well because of the way that Missouri is dominating opponents in the ground game, in the trenches. So understanding that Jamal Roberts getting plenty of run, even though he's in the two, might be overlooked by casual bettors, but that's something situationally that you can look at and find value here. So the key takeaway is this. It's very simple, right? Week-to-week success in sports betting is not just about picking winners or teams that did well the last week or teams that you like or teams that get the hype. It's about reading the context and understanding things like injuries, depth, environment, situational factors, tempo, pace of play, the sharp money versus public money. They all influence everything we've talked about, spreads, totals, props, especially. Smart bettors, they pay attention to these nuances, they understand these nuances, and that's what separates those who find value and are profitable long term versus those that are just betting for fun or entertainment value. So next time you're looking at a line, don't just look at it as -3. Oh, that's easy. Ohio State should cover that. But look at the story beyond that, and that's where the edge is. The edge lives in those margins.
You know what? I think you're targeting our audience there. You're definitely targeting me with that in-game betting about two great defenses that end up scoring a lot in the first half. I don't know if you caught the Iowa Rutgers game last week, but that's exactly what happened. 21-21 game in the first half. Two teams you don't expect to score a ton of points, although Rutgers offense is on the up and up. But then it comes out second half, like you mentioned, they go back, they regress to the mean. And you could have got a good number on that half at an under for that football game for the exact reason you mentioned. They're both normally good defensive football teams. In the case of Iowa, you could say they're a bad offensive football team, but they regress to the mean and then come out second half, and both offenses are a little flat, defenses hyped up to the point you made. I also like I'd like to compare anyways this Penn State Oregon game for the fact you were talking about, how when you have home field advantage, you're getting 2 to 3 points, which is what I always quoted as. Is that what you were quoting it at, 2 to 3 points for a home team?
Yes, I mean that's generally understood, right? Where the home team on a neutral field, excuse me, at their home, they get 3 points for being on their home turf.
Exactly. And that's where I see it in that 2 to 3 range. You got Penn State right now at -3.5. The reason that Penn State is at -3.5, this is a whiteout crowd. This game is being played at 6:30 at night. If you have an 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, or maybe even late afternoon game, this is a -3 game. And people think I'm crazy, maybe listening to me what I'm talking about right now, but this is 100% the case. If you're playing on a neutral field right now, this is probably a pick'em football game. The reason this line is at that -3.5 is because Penn State's at home. They have a whiteout crowd. It's a 6:30 start. That crowd is going to be going absolutely bananas. So if you're a person that likes to bet a little more casually, this is one of the circumstances where those people that like to quantify the football teams and their probability to win games, the football teams, their probability to cover a certain number, AKA the spread, this is where you can have a little bit of an advantage because that is very difficult to quantify. They just put an extra hook on it and say, hey, I'm done with it. So if you have an opinion one way or another about whether they're right, that's where you take your shots, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I just want to clarify. When I was talking about the Washington Ohio State game, I was looking ahead to next week, but I was thinking in my head about Washington and Washington State last week. It was at Washington State, but we talked about some of the injuries and how that affects lines. And in fact, the fact is, Washington State put up 24 points against a Washington defense last week that was riddled with injuries, despite the fact that their team total, the lines for their team total, were around 17. So just again, some things to there's plenty of opportunity to overthink this, but there's tons of things that go into all these lines that you should be considering instead of just saying, oh, I like this team or oh, I like that team.
Absolutely. Figure out where to pick your spots. You don't have to bet every game. That's where your people go wrong. You don't have to bet every game. Find your spot, find your angle, find that trend you like to watch, and just hammer it week in and week out. Try to get that nuance you can find yourself as a sports bettor. Unless you want to start quantifying things, then you can change everything around. But it gets pretty difficult that way. A lot of machine learning algorithms these days, let me tell you. Mr. Story, you know what we got to do? We got to wrap this episode up, but we have to jump into our pick'em. I hope you have somebody ready. I don't know if you're going to go with that NIU because I saw that line you were talking about before that game last week in San Diego State. I'm going to bring up here because it was my pick'em last week. But San Diego State was expected to be the dog. They've now jumped to the favorite. So you got an NIU Huskies football team as the dog. That's where you're going. Tell me that's where you're going.
That's not where I'm going. I want to give
Oh.
our all of our public something
Oh.
to bet on. It is a game that I like, and I will be asking. Well, I will be look. Maybe I'll sign up for an exchange because I really like that line on the
Me
Huskies. But
too.
my pick 'em this week is. Oh, are we jumping into the pick 'em now, Wal?
Yeah, let's jump into it. You should mention last week what you had with your
Well,
Michigan.
if you've paid attention so far, it's been a fairly outside of the warm up we had, but very good season so far. Michigan -2.5. They sneaked out a win, not as comfortable as I was hoping for, but. Doesn't matter. A win's a win. We had them at -2.5. And then, if you're paying attention in our underdog segment at the end of story time, we talked about Temple, and Temple ended up winning. I thought no way that Oklahoma State should be a 2-touchdown favorite against anybody. Boom, they proved me right. Good. So, sayonara, Mike Gundy. This week, I'm going to a lesser-known conference. I'm going to take Duke -5.5 at Syracuse. So, Syracuse, they've been a little lukewarm this week, right? They've got a struggling. Excuse me, they've been a little lukewarm this year. A little bit of a struggling pass defense. Duke has been hot. I like Duke coming out as a 5.5 point favorite. I like them to win by a touchdown easily. The quarterback there has been sharp. He's got 1,300 yards already. Syracuse has struggled defending high-powered passing attacks. I think Duke's going to control this game through the air. A lot of deep field shots as well as some underneath stuff that's going to keep the clock moving. So not sure about the over-under, but this one's a solid play for bettors. I like Duke to win this by a touchdown. Take Duke -5.5.
That's interesting. I can't remember the last time that I bet on Duke. I'm gonna have to bet on him since you're taking him. So I'm liking that bet. I'm not hating it. I did have to turn them off of my system because I had some problems with. I'm not sure what that was in that game. It was a mismatched time or something. I'm not sure if you know what time that game is, but I'm gonna follow you, Mr. Story. I always do. You know,
It's an
even
early
if
game.
is
It's an
it
11 a.m. game. So just so you
11
know,
a.m.
yeah, and it's a big total. It's 16.5. Don't make no mistake about it. But let's just get the spread.
Yeah, that's true. Let's cover that spread. Like you did last week, barely with that Michigan, but you covered it. And then that game, I mean, whoo, fantastic putting the money line on that one. But I don't want to get too far off track. Last week I had San Diego State. You know, I don't know if you remember, but do you remember how many points I was getting in that one by any chance? It was
I don't remember offhand.
12 and a half. It was 12 and a half, not to put you to the fire. So what I was is I was San Diego State, right? Getting 12 and a half points. Now, I don't know if you saw the final score to that San Diego State California game, but
Oh, I definitely saw that score. That's another former Pac-12 team that oof, not so hot.
no, you're talking about it's a 34 to nothing win for San Diego State. And I was getting 12 and a half. If my math is correct, what are you talking about? A 46 and a half point cover? I mean, come on. San Diego State was the pick last week. I think it's influencing a little bit of that NIU game we talked about, which again, they got a little too far overboard. So I like NIU this week for facts we talked about. But as far as what my actual pick'em will be, I already talked about it. I'm gonna hammer Ole Miss. Minus 1.5, Mr. Kiffin's going to get it done for me. You know what, AP pollsters, put your money where your mouth is. Just shut up. We got another favorite at 13 in the nation playing the number four team of the nation. Come on, when are we going to stop listening to these jokers in the AP poll and let some people that actually put money on these games make the rankings? Because they're the ones that got to put their money where their mouth is. So Ole Miss, minus 1.5 this week, Mr. Story.
Oh, I like that quite a bit. I'm gonna have to take a little bit more than I usually play on your, because I really like that one as well. Lane Kiffin has a good track record. I like this new quarterback that they got. I'm hoping he sticks around long term. I mean, it's gonna be an amazing week five. Don't get me wrong. And we didn't even talk about Florida State and Virginia or Notre Dame and Arkansas or Battle of the SEC, Auburn, Texas A&M. There's so much this weekend. I know you got a lot of teams on bye, but my God, there's a lot of good football on this weekend.
There sure is. And hey, I want to mention it because I hope it happens. Arizona, look for them to take down Iowa State because I hate Iowa State. I need them to lose. So another good football game for those of you that like to watch Iowa State anyways. But I think that wraps up this episode. I think we did pretty good. We got the fans some good information. I enjoyed your topic this week. If anybody has any questions about story time, about any specific angles, trends, let me know. Let us know over there. In the show notes, you find all the ways to contact us. You can follow us on all of the social media platforms. Give Mr. Story something to do throughout the week. Give him a question or two. I'll relay it over there if he doesn't get it himself. But I appreciate you being on here, Mr. Story. Are you on here with us next week?
Let's check the old schedule. I'm very much in demand these weeks, Wall. So let's find out. We are on next week. I got it in the calendar. We're
It's
good
a
to go.
fantastic week. I appreciate you being on this week. Until then, stay sharp, sports bettors.